Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows, Psalter 348, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Jeremiah 2, the verses 1 through 13. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Jeremiah 2, the first 13 verses. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt, and I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be ye horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils, and they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then by renewal in this evening hour, then thou maketh a great difference where there is no difference. We may still come up to thy courts freely to hear what thou hast to say unto us. That is a privilege which so many people upon the earth do not have. Great multitudes, they have not a word. Great numbers have not a desire to place themselves under the authority of thy word. But in this day there were also many that had a desire, but word was not possible because of persecution and because of war. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend unto thee that country that has been invaded by the enemy. Oh, may thou grant also unto thy church in that country that they may mightily cry unto thee, that thou may remember them, and that these serious ways, that they may be used for the coming of thy kingdom and the breaking down of the kingdom of the devil. Lord, wilt thou continue to uphold the persecuted church? Remember the Jewish people. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants and the team. Wilt thou continue to be mindful of the established churches? Wilt thou remember our theological school? Wilt thou remember the instructors and the students? Lord, then the labors are manifold. May it please thee to grant more servants for thy vineyard, a mission worker for our mission field, and also more teachers for our Christian schools. Lord, may it please thee in this evening to bless thy word indeed for the conversion of the unconverted, when there is a building upon sandy foundations. May it please thee to uncover it, and wilt thou remember, wilt thou uphold, wilt thou comfort thy people, wilt thou grant the further leadings in the mysteries of salvation, wilt thou grant that close, that tender, that dependent, and that begging life, needing thee for everything, and to receive those special tokens of thy favor, and to need thy dear son as prophet to be further instructed, because thou hast a people that learn that they are so ignorant in heavenly ways, to need more and more as their priest in that atonement, but also in the way of prayer and thanksgiving, and to need him as king in that warfare, against that treble-headed enemy, Lord. Bless the means of grace amongst us. Help the consistory on the Sabbath day and during the week. O wilt thou bless thy word in the midst of the family circles. O wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end. And thou wast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. O wilt thou remember our Christian school. After a week, may it have been a week of refreshment for all. When the studies may resume, wilt thou grant traveling mercies over the unsafe roads. And wilt thou remember and help that labor all therein. When thy holy word may be opened, do make it a blessing for young and old. Lord, remember the nations of the earth, wars and rumors of war. It all points to the end. May we and our children be given to hasten for our life's sake by thy grace. Lord, remember all in high authority also in this country, and remember all the inhabitants. Then there is a necessity where our country is given more and more over to the greatest judgment that can come upon us, and that is the hardening of the heart under thy solemn speaking, when there is no returning unto thee. Lord, remember also this province, the premier with those that stand at his side, and the governments of the cities, also of our town. May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit upon our community, upon young and old, upon the churches where the truth is not brought. May it please thee that the light may arise in the darkness, and wilt thou grant that repentance, Lord. Thou still hast a people amongst this young and old family circles, where thy word may have a central, a special, and authoritative place. May that number be greatly increased under thy solemn speaking. May it please thee in the latter days of the earth to pour out thy Spirit in a richer measure upon us and our children. Do work from generation to generation where thou wast promised in thy holy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations, O Lord. Impress upon all of our hearts of that one thing needful, and that is to be converted by thee unto thee, by the loving and irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, and that it becomes reality here in the time, before it shall become reality at the end. Oh, teach us all what great sinners we are, our heavenly high debt, and that we cannot appear before thee with our debt. Oh, Lord, what shall it be if death overtakes us unconverted, and then not to be able, and yet a must, and then to go lost forever and ever. But, O Lord, it may still be proclaimed that there is a Savior for the chiefest of sinners. Wilt thou so remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people? Wilt thou remember the special needs? Remember widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? Remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life. Oh, impress upon all their hearts that surely there is one thing needful. Remember all the sick, all the afflicted, all under the physician's care, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Oh, may the means be blessed, and a humble heart under thy goodness. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones, difficulties of the body, of the mind. It is all known unto thee. We remember the family circles, Lord. May love abound when it is different. Well, to grant it turning unto thee. What has been separated, bring it together according to thy holy word. Well, thou remember all the troubles, remember those that struggle with temptations and addictions. Ah, may it please thee to deliver them, grant them a place at thy footstool, where they may humbly ask thee for thy help, not to be given to trust in their own strength and intentions, because then it shall utterly fail. Lord, grant a prayer for one another. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Well, to bless all the labors of our hands. Well, to provide for our daily bread. Well, to remember those that have become unemployed because of the different mandates. Oh, may they be given to experience that thou knowest of them. Lord, wilt thou so remember us in this evening hour? May our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou grant the opening of thy word, the leading of thy spirit? Wilt thou grant the opening of the hearts? Wilt thou help our little boys and our little girls also to listen and to understand? Ah, thou only needeth one word. Wilt thou bind the Satan? Grant then a good evening together undeservedly. It is forfeited and sinned away from our side. Also the sin of our unthankfulness, where we are so privileged above most of the people upon the earth. And, O Lord, it is written, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. We are only stewards. Impress that reality more and more upon our heart. Lord, leave and forsake us not. Make us more a praying and a begging people. May our eyes be upon thee. Pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 308, the first four stanzas. And not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. In love and truth thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. And what follows, Psalter 308, the first four stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34, the question and answers 92 through 94. Question 92, what is the law of God? Answer, God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And the Ten Commandments, they have been read this morning. Question 93, how are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables. The first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. Question 94, what doth God enjoin in the first commandment? Answer, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of mine own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, a sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone, with humility and patience submit to Him, expect all good things from Him only, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Question 95, what is idolatry? Answer, idolatry is, instead of, or besides that one true God, who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. Lord's Day number 34 speaks of the holy law and the part of gratitude. Two thoughts. First, the law given by a wise and merciful God. And secondly, the upright worshiping of the one true God. The holy law in the part of gratitude. The law given by a wise and merciful God. And secondly, the upright worshiping of the one true God. Beloved congregation, the past Lord's Day, then we have heard from Lord's Day number 33 of what the true conversion of man consists of. And then we have heard precious things explained. The answers were not so long. But when the Lord converts us, they shall not be strange matters. Have we thought about it the past week? About those marks? It is a sincere sorrow of heart that we have provoked God by our sins, and more to hate and flee from them. And the quickening of the new man, it is a sincere joy of heart in God through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. Those answers, they exclude and they include. And how is it with us? Such a personal matter. Has that wonder taken place? Have we been renewed? Come a change in our life. But we need to be renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And when that takes place, many questions and many riddles. But then, Lord's Day number 33, for the true people of God, they are marks. How far they have been led, that is a different matter. But then they find their life explained. Have we thought about it this past week? Boys and girls, have you thought about it? What it is to be converted? Have there been those that have come extra times on their knees? Maybe last Sabbath evening, that there were those that have went to their bedroom and that had to say, Lord, I must confess, it was all a strange language, because I am still a lover of the world and I love sin. That has not become a burden. I have not learned to weep over my sins, but, oh Lord, I am still in the precious day of grace. And may thy word be blessed, that thou may convert me, as thou hast converted all thy people, that I may become the sinner indeed, that needs to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that room may be made for the suffering and death of thy dear Son, that my debt may be canceled out, and that I may have a small beginning of that holy joy, a desire to follow thee in sown and unsown ways, that I may have a beginning to praise thee, and at the end, then I may be taken into glory to forever praise thee. Or have we not given it so much thought? Have we become so used to be unconverted? And of course, the Lord has to do it. Try to excuse yourself, it is true. Hold on to that truth. But may it now become our guilt. My unconverted fellow travelers, what shall become of your excuses at the end of your life? But have there also been souls that could honestly tell the Lord, Lord, if those are now the marks of grace, then I have a hope that thou knowest of me. But, Lord, then it is also written, a sincere joy of trust in God through Christ, then it is so necessary that as people are led further into the mysteries of salvation, and in these solemn times, the time of war, the time of rumors of war, may the Lord teach us our existence by nature, then we are also at war. That started in paradise. Then we are at war with our Maker, with our Creator, with our Benefactor. Then we are enemies of God and enemies of His dear Son. But now there is an Almighty King, and when it pleases him to shoot an arrow of divine love into the hearts of the king's enemies, then they shall be given to bow and stoop very low, and they shall be given to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then we have heard the last Lord's Day, the marks of good works. They proceed from a true faith, are performed according to the law of God and to his glory. Thus the second that was the rule, that is the law of God. And now in Lord's Day number 34, then the instructors of our Heidelberg Catechism, they make a beginning with the law of God. Of course, and not the first time that the instructors have spoken about the law of God. Most of us, even our boys and girls, then you can remember that in Lord's Day number 2, where it speaks of the uncovering of our misery, the knowledge of our misery, then there was asked, whence knowest thou thy misery? And then it was answered, out of the law of God. Then in Lord's Day number 2, then the instructors, the Ten Commandments, were not remunerated, but only a summary thereof, as we read in Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40, the sum of the two tables. And then there was asked whether we could keep that law. And then the instructors have answered, in no wise, but I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Then in Lord's Day number 2, then we have the mirror of the law to show a sinner their misery, a trembling sinner under the law of God, a very guilty sinner. And then may I ask you, has that now taken place in our life? That we have seen our life, the law of God, as a mirror, that we have seen the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and that we have learned to cry for mercy, and to further learn, Lord's Day number 3, the origin of our sin, Lord's Day number 4, the punishment of our sin, and come to that place of Lord's Day number 5, since then, by the righteous, just judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there then no way that we can escape that punishment and be restored into favor? And then we have heard of that wonderful way, through the beloved Son of God, that a sinner can be saved and pardoned of all his sin. And now in Lord's Day number 34, then by renewal, there is spoken of the law, but that is as a reconciled child, because we have heard in former Lord's Day what the child has experienced by the free and sovereign grace of God, that he has been forgiven, that he has been restored. And now we do not have the trembling child. We do not have a slavish. We do not have a slave, but we have a child that has been pardoned by renewal with the law, although he stands with awe and with reverence. That is the mark of the true work of the Lord. And the more that a child may be given to experience, the more humble they become, the more they are filled with that awe and reverence concerning that great and majestic God. Thus now in this Lord's Day, then we may see the law for the child of God as a mirror concerning their sanctification. What is the law of God? Then concerning the law of God, already in Lord's Day number 2, we have spoken a few words thereof. When we consider the law of God, then it is the blessing and the goodness of the Lord that he has given his law unto mankind. That law has already been written on the tables of the heart of Adam and Eve when they were created in the image of God in knowledge, righteousness, and in holiness. And now concerning that law, there is still a remnant of the image of God as we read in our creeds. And in the early days before the scriptures, then the will of God was transferred from one generation to another. Reverend Hellenbrook has written, it was easier those days because man lived longer. And he has also written that the devices of Satan were less. But now the Lord, in his great mercy, then when the children of Israel were delivered out of the house of bondage, when they have gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, then the Lord, in an audible voice, then he has spoken that law to the children of Israel. And it was written on the tables of stone to show that it was an everlasting law. And now concerning that law, the goodness and wisdom of the Lord, that he has given that law to mankind. If we think of the commandments, is it not a good commandment, the third commandment, not to take the name of the Lord in vain? When people are given over to that sin, if they dare to use the name of the Lord in vain, what shall they dare to call their husband, their wife, and other people? Is it not a precious commandment, the fourth commandment, that the Lord, in his great wisdom and loving kindness, has given the fourth commandment, that in a special way, that we may cease from our labors? Of course, there are labors of mercy and of necessity, because if the Lord has not given that commandment, what do you think we would do, people? We would work 7 days a week. But now the Lord, in his goodness, in his wisdom, for body and for soul, has given the fourth commandment. Is it not a good commandment, the fifth commandment, that there may be order in the society? The sixth commandment, that we may not murder one another. The seventh commandment, guarding the marriages, and so we could continue. Why does man now resist the law of God? Our deep fallen Adam, our pride, our rebellious nature, that triple-headed enemy, our flesh, the world, and the devil. What is the law of God? God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God. How many times do we find that expression in the law of God? Do you know, congregation? How many times? if you think quickly, not only in the introduction, and that is much and something special to say, but we find that expression 5 times in the law of God. Thus then the Lord is reminding, because it is in the part of gratitude, not to merit salvation, but in the part of thankfulness for such a great deliverance. And then the Lord grants instruction to his child in the way that they are called to walk. Then we read that expression by renewal in the 2nd commandment, in the 3rd commandment, in the 4th commandment, and in the 5th commandment. Thus then in the part of gratitude for the true child of God that has experienced the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace, then he is reminded not only with the introduction, but further with the explanation of the commandments, that they may be given to worship him, the only true God. And then we read, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What a precious, what a profound, what a comforting word for the true child of God. Has that ever been so, child of God? We get so used to so much. Also concerning the reading of the holy law of God. And has it ever touched our heart that each Lord's Day morning that the Lord comes to his people, oh my child, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the house of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Then the Lord reminds his people of his wonderful works. He reminds them of the past, when they labored under Pharaoh, when they labored under the law, when they have groaned, when they have cried, when they were afflicted, when they could not deliver themselves, when they were laboring under the taskmasters, when they were beaten, because the Lord has a people that knows what it is to labor under the law, and they learn that they can never be saved by the works of the law. But now in that introduction, then the Lord magnifies his grace, because the Lord at his time, then he has delivered that people, then that people are given to reflect upon all the wonderful works, then they are called to reflect upon the almighty power of God when he has sent the plagues upon the land of Egypt. Then they are given to reflect upon what has taken place at the Passover, where that lamb that was separated the 10th day and slain the 14th day of the 1st month, and where that blood was applied to the top and the side post of the doors, and that the Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, then with that introduction, then the church is given to reflect upon the wonderful works of the Lord. They have come through impossibilities. They have come through the Red Sea, Pharaoh behind, mountains on the side. They have cried unto the Lord, and the Lord has made a way where there was no way. Then with that introduction, then they are called upon to reflect upon the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, the precious gift of His holy word, then they are given to reflect upon the manna that has come down from heaven. Then they are given to reflect upon the water that has come out of the rock. Then they are given to reflect upon the Lord's wonderful deliverance. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thus in the context of gratitude. But each Lord's Day, the law's writ is read in the midst of the whole congregation for us all. 'Tis a blessing to be under the external administration of the covenant, baptized in the name of a triune God, the Lord thy God, but it must become by the grace of God. How were these commandments divided? Into two tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God, and the second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. We live in a day where it seems that there are not so many absolutes. Former days, also in society, as a general rule, the family Bible, then it was, thus saith the Lord, what saith the word of God. But the Western countries, they have departed so far from His word. Many family circles no longer has a family Bible. Generations growing up do not know what is written in the Bible. Then how privileged we are. But how is it with God's word? Is it also in our families? What saith the Lord? Thus saith the Lord. Or are we slowly and surely of following the thinking of the world? Because the world says, I feel this way, or I think so and so. But it is not what saith the word of God. And concerning that declension, then maybe in society, still the law of God, the second table, is still considered, but very seldom is there spoken of the first table. And the first table is, as I read in Matthew 22, to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. The second table concerns our neighbor. How is it with us, congregation? Does also this first table, does that have a special, a dominant place in our family circles? Concerning those two tables, they must both be obeyed. But there can come circumstances in our life that the first table has preeminence over the second. Examples in the Bible. Daniel 3. The three young friends of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar has made a golden image in the plains of Dura. And when the music would play, then they were all commanded to fall on their knees and worship that image. Thus those three friends had a choice to make. Concerning the first and the second commandment and the fifth, honoring our superiors, our government, or honoring the Lord. And then the first table as the preeminence. Could use a daily example. Also, as we come closer to the end of the world, concerning the seven-day economy. Then when we apply for a job or when we have a job, and come a time that the employer requests us to work on the Sabbath day, of course, works of mercy, necessity need to be done, then we need to make a choice. Thus, the two tables divided. The first table is four commandments, the second six. I read in Psalm 119, verse 96, that the commandment is exceeding broad, and Romans 13, verse 10, that love is the fulfilling of the law. Let us first sing. A Psalter 435, as many stanzas as are necessary for the collections. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty at Horeb's mount gave there a statutes and spake these words to hear and see. 435, as many as are necessary for the collections. God, the holy law, and the part of gratitude. The law given by a wise and merciful God. Secondly, the upright worshiping of the one true God. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? And the first commandment reads, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What an ashaming commandment for the true child of God. William Huntington has written in his autobiography that he was given to speak, that he had pity with God. When the Lord converts a sinner, when the Lord may show one something of whom the Lord is, and that for a sinful people, that he sends so many blessings from above, and that from the earth so little praise arises, that there is none upon the earth that are treated as the children of men treat the Creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth. Then what a sorrow can fill such a heart. But also in the further ways, it can be that a child of God, reverently speaking, that he has sympathy with God, that he has such a child and such an office bearer. Are there souls that understand it? Concerning the worshiping of the only true God, then how unthankful, after such a precious introduction, where the Lord is given to declare, O child of God, I am the Lord thy God, a triune God. I have delivered thee out of the house of bondage. I have converted thee. I have given those new and living desires. I have brought thee out of that horrible pit, out of that pit of destruction. I have discovered such wonderful things. I have given my dear son, my only begotten son whom I love, I have given him to be a savior, that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Then how unthankful and how unreasonable it would not be to serve such a God. How ashamed for the Church of God, after such a precious declaration, after such a wonderful work of free and sovereign grace, that the Lord still has to say to his child, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What it would be for parents, of parents that provided for their children liberally, of course, Children also need discipline, that fathers and mothers would have to say to their children that in the morning for breakfast they may not go to their neighbor. And when children have troubles and pain, that they must not go to someone else, but that with all their needs, they must come to father and mother. That is only right and only natural. And now the Lord, that first commandment, how ashamed. And for the child of God, the more tender that a life may be, the lower they may be given to bow, that the Lord still has to say, oh, in the beginning, when they hope to go from strength to strength, and when they are filled with that love and with that zeal, when they have made that good choice of a Ruth, then they think that first commandment, that is not so necessary, because Lord, they say with the Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. But the child of God learns that that first commandment, that is not necessary for other people, but that is necessary for me, because we have read together out of the prophet Jeremiah chapter 2, and that the prophet was given to declare a people whom the Lord has so richly blessed, they have forsaken, verse 13, they have forsaken me, for my people have committed to evils, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? Answer, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, we shall not broaden it out further. Do we believe we have a soul? Are we exercised with our soul? Do we desire the salvation of our soul? Avoid and flee from all idolatry. What is idolatry? That is to love someone or something more and above the living God, something that draws us away from the Lord, a larger place in our life, something that we are seeking and that gives more joy, that we give more honor to, that we ascribe attributes which belong to God, and men place their trust. And what an idols there are, of course. We are not heathens. I have read in the church news that on March 10, with the meeting of the Trinitarian Bible Society, was planned last October, that a pastor from England, that he was going to come and speak, but there will only be a presentation. That is a minister that is originally from Iran. He has come to Corsica. I picked him up at the airport on a long drive. Then you have time to ask how the Lord has led that man. And he has said he has come from Iran, and his religion, that was the religion of the Babylonians of the Bible times, a priesthood, and that they worship the moon. But he has come to England. He had many questions. The Lord has blessed his word, and that question was placed before him, what he would do with his sins at the end of his life. And the Lord has used that for his conversion. And the gospel was opened. He has become a minister. And he has told me, when you preach the Bible, the truth of the Bible, then you do not have so many friends. In his first congregation, where he was given to preach the scriptures, also when it was contrary to customs and traditions, many of his congregation is left, but other souls have come, and he was given to believe that his word was blessed. So that was a pastor, a minister, that when he was a boy, that he was given to worship the same as the Persians and the Babylonians in Bible times, but the Lord has brought him to the glorious light of the gospel. Concerning all the idols, we shall not mention them all. Material, family, can also be those evil idols. Music stars, sports stars. I hope we and our people may be kept. And if we have become addicted, that we may be delivered. Thus we could speak of lawful things that become an idol, takes a larger place instead of the Lord, can multiply it out family circles. How necessary to beg the Lord that he may remember and keep us. But now the instructors, they have spoken of sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints. We shall leave it lie in this evening. But now to say a few words, it is a rich and a profound answer what that first commandment requires. And then in the context, in the part of gratitude, but from each and every one of us. And learn rightly to know the only true God. And how is that now only true God? How is he now learned and known? That is by the preaching of the word. To that end, the necessities that we and our children faithfully use the means of grace. And when there's opportunity, even for a weekday service, realizing not possible for all, but when there are no unlawful reasons, that we never leave our place empty, and that we ask the Lord to bless his word, accompanied by the work of the Holy Spirit, that God may become real in our life. And as we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, our young people know it, that God must be known in his essence, in his attributes, in his persons, and in his works. That we learn to know the only true God, a trust in him alone. What an instruction in our days does not mean that we are not to be diligent in our labors, but also concerning the past 2 years, then what an idols have been set up, also concerning the virus. But now our instructors, according to the word of God, trust in him alone. And further, with humility and patience, submit to him. then in this answer, then we have much of Lord's day number 10. What understandest thou by the providence of God that it is his almighty hand that he upholds and governs the heavens and earth, and that nothing cometh by chance? And then the profit of that providence, that we are thankful in prosperity, patient in adversity, and in all future things, that we are given to trust in the Lord. Ah, then our instructors, they speak of profound things. They speak of matters which the Lord grants unto his people, which have been merited by Christ Jesus and given by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Because the child of God, concerning these things, they find that it is not found on the acre of their heart, but that it is a gift from above. But all the instructors, they are given to speak of profound and rich things, a special place for a child of God to come, that they may entrust everything unto the Lord. Oh, to let God be God in ways of also prosperity, with humility and patience, as Paul not written to the Romans, in Romans 3, the verses 3 and 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knoweth that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our heart. Oh, it is a gift from above, in the way of trials, unfathomable, mysterious ways, with humility and patience, submit to him. Expect all good things from him alone. Do we not read in James 1 verse 17 that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning? Expect all good things from him only. Love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart. We find similar things in the form for holy baptism, when we receive the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost upon our forehead, I am the Lord thy God. Then the instructors have written that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him, love him with all our souls, all our mind, all our heart, and all our strength. Thus, in the form with the administration of holy baptism, then we find similar things what we find with the explanation of the first commandment, and glorify him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures. Does not mean congregation, that we must not be a hand and a foot to one another. What a blessing it is when there is love, when there is compassion, when we may even be a raven, the Lord uses means. Nevertheless, with everything that takes place, that is a blessing. In the way of God's providence, when there may be those times, then when we may experience those special leadings, his special providential hand, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit a close life. I am the Lord. thy God, and were the Lord the first commandment, how a shaming, thou shalt have no other gods before me, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to us well. The first commandment. And then in this evening hour, then who dares to raise his finger, his hand, to say that, Lord, now with this first commandment, then I am free. I am not guilty. But how do we live with that guilt? May it please the Lord when he spares us and we hope to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai, and each time hear another commandment that it shall not be so easy to put it aside. But the beginning of the Passion season, when by renewal we may meditate upon the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, what it has cost him to deliver his people. May it please the Lord by his Spirit to use it for the unconverted, that they become guiltier and guiltier. To learn the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, but also for God's people as a mirror, to become ashamed, more humble. The wonder of grace only becomes greater. That is a mark of grace, because for the true church of God, that wonder of grace only becomes greater. And then that such a commandment, after so much grace received, then still to commit so much evil and be so unthankful, thou shalt have no other gods before me. To that end, that old Apostle John, his first epistle, the last verse, 1 John 5, verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. A few simple words to speak. May we be given to return to our dwellings. May there be spoken of what we have heard, and then for each and every one, then in this evening hour, then we must confess that we are not only guilty, but very guilty. Lord, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Spirit for the unconverted. Oh, may it please thee that thou may place boys and girls, young people, middle-aged, elderly ones in their guilt. Lord, remember the young couple who have been united in holy marriage. Impress upon their young hearts that husband and wife may not have a larger place than thee. That would be experienced, would be a blessing, but, oh Lord, for thy people, how shaming that such a commandment is necessary. Also for thy people, necessary to be humbled, to repent, and to come to that fountain of blood continually. We may commence another week. May it please thee to watch over us in the home, at work, on the way at school, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected and unprepared death? Keep us from sin and temptation. Guide our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Bless the labors of our hand. Bless the instruction of the youth, the visitations. Bring us together for a weekday service. Lord, then by renewal, we commend unto thee a country that has been invaded by the enemy. May they be given to cry unto thee, the living God. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Be the faithful keeper, Israel, that neither slumbers nor sleeps. May we awake in the morning, strength, health, and desire for our labors, to be good stewards of what has been entrusted unto us. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 27, the first four stanzas. O God, preserve me for in thee. Alone my trust has stood. My soul has said, thou art my God, my chief and only good. And what follows, Psalter 27, the first four stanzas. array save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.